Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah! And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Sulemar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif, coming to you live and surround sound from New York City. I'm joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's up, man?
What's going on, buddy? Still the smell of champagne in the house.
You did say that right before you hit the drop. You were like, I'm still riding high on this Eagles.
I'm still riding high. Every morsel of information I see, I'm just eating it up. I saw somebody break down. I meant to send it to you. Somebody was breaking down some of like Jalen's reads and whatnot. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is amazing. I started rewatching the game. The other day, Ariel looked at me like, what are you doing?
I had a buddy who's like just a big diehard Philly fan through and through. And we'll talk about it, obviously. But when the Embiid stuff was coming up, I was like, hey, man, like, what's going on with Embiid? He goes, we just won the Super Bowl. I don't fucking care.
Don't care.
So anybody who's new to the program, we're going to talk about all the major things happening. We took last week off for the All-Star break. Thank you, CBAs, for giving us a week off, because Joe and I, neither of us care about All-Star games. So we're going to talk about everything happening in the major sports, which this week is going to be mainly NBA-centric. A lot going on, so we got to get to all that. Then we're going to talk about some stuff in the quick hits. We'll hit the Fulham corner. Devastating loss this weekend. Crushing. Out of nowhere. I'm not even being facetious. I was like watching it. They had it on at the gym because they always play soccer. Because, you know, I live in New York where it's mostly not people from America. So soccer's real big. And it was like watching it. I was like, oh, we'll come back. Like, we're pushing. We'll come back. And then we just didn't. So Joe's going to break all that down. And then we're going to do the press conference where we'll peddle our wares. But first, let's get into the NBA. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Lots of energy this week. Coming back from a week off. I was in Florida.
Week off, recording at early time.
Yeah, I can yell as much as I want. Schedule got moved around at work, so we might be able to do some more afternoon shows moving forward, hopefully. But Joe,
yes,
we're gonna skip the All-Star stuff. We didn't watch it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Stupid for the NBA. But we have some massive injury news that came out over the last week, and I wanted to touch on some of this with you before we kind of get into the landscape of what's going on in the NBA. Wemby, blood clot, out for the rest of the season.
Yes.
What do we think? Are we nervous about this long term? What's your take on this?
So when the news first broke, it's deep vein thrombosis. They found it in his shoulder, which effectively is a type of blood clot. When news first broke, it was kind of like startling, you know, because it was like, that's very serious. Yeah. And then me being from South Florida and listening to the Levitard show for as long as I have, I remembered when Chris Bosh got diagnosed with this, and that was effectively the end of his career. But he was a little older in age. And then I thought to the most recent blood clot that I remember, and that was Asar Thompson, who I think is maybe a year older than Wemby, if not like the same age. One of the Thompson twins, this is the one that plays for Detroit.
The number 16 Detroit?
Number 16 Detroit. We'll get to that. But he got diagnosed with one late, around the same time last year. I think it was like early March of last year, and he missed the rest of the season. He missed a couple games to start this season, and then he's been back, and there's been no issues whatsoever. No issues have popped back up. And then, you know, so just processing like, okay, here's one, you know, bad data point. Here's one good data point. And then another one I found out was Brandon Ingram, his last year for the Lakers, again, early March-ish, right after All-Star time. He also had got diagnosed with a blood clot I don't think his was deep vein. I know his was deep vein thrombosis in the shoulder. Exact same thing. Got shut down for the rest of the year. Eventually got traded to the Pelicans, but hasn't missed any time for that since his diagnosis. So with those three data points, two recent and two of those being younger guys, which Wemby is, versus Chris Bosh being an older guy toward the latter stage of his career, because that happened like after LeBron left even Miami. So it made me feel a little more optimistic about them catching it, because they said they caught it early, them getting to now and being able to work through it, shutting them down as a precautionary measure to just make sure everything is 100% okay for the future, because this is not only the future of the Spurs, but the future of the NBA in a way, because he is such a global recognizable player, because obviously he's gigantic, but he's really good. And a lot of people are now getting more exposure to him with that Netflix documentary that just came out, Court of Gold, that covers like the U.S., France, Serbia, and I think a little bit of Canada on the Olympic run. So I think everybody who cares about basketball, loves basketball, is invested in the well-being of Wemby. And as a human, I mean, I think everybody wants the kid to be good. He's like 21 years old. So processing all of it, I came away like more optimistic on the side that, you know, this is going to be okay. It's a blimp in the radar. But yeah, it was when it first came through, it was definitely nerve-wracking.
Yeah, that was kind of my instinct, because I have experience through my family with blood clots. There's a podcaster comedian that we listen to who has blood clots, so I've heard a lot about it. And I always thought as a kid, when you'd hear stuff like this, I was like, oh, can't they just go in with like a laser and like shoot it like they do with kidney stones and stuff? And it's like, no. And my mom got diagnosed with blood clots a few years ago. And I was like, so what does that mean? And she's like, oh, well, I have to do this. And I go, yeah, but when does it go away? And she's like, well, it doesn't. Like, it just kind of, you have it and you do all this precautionary stuff. And sometimes your body will get rid of it and sometimes it won't. And you're just like, so wait, you just have. So when I first heard it, I was like, oh, so he's done. Like, there's no way. Because the biggest fear with deep vein thrombosis and with anything clot related is that the clot comes loose and then gets pushed into your brain, causing an aneurysm or anything like that. And that could kill you.
To your heart or something.
Yeah, exactly. A pulmonary embolism, and that can kill you. And so it's definitely one of those things where, because that's how like my grandfather died, was a pulmonary embolism, because he had a clot. He didn't know about it and it got shot into his heart.
I was saying the flip side is like one of the concerns, like why Chris Bosh had to retire, was you could get on blood thinners, which will thin out the blood, which will loosen up the clot, but your blood is thinner. So then if you get a cut, you could massively bleed out because your blood is just rushing out. So that's the flip side to it as well.
Not only that, but your blood, when it's thinner, isn't carrying as much oxygen to the rest of your body. So like as a, it's one thing if you're like just hanging out at home or you sit at a desk. It's another thing when you're a professional athlete.
Yeah, and you're throwing your body against
people. Yeah, you need your body in peak performance. So the prognosis after, like you said, I looked into a few things. The prognosis for Wemby is good because he is so young. They should be able to figure it out. But like you said, Victor Wembanyama is the future of the NBA. So this is of vital importance, not only for him on a personal empathetic level, like for his health, but also for the health of the NBA, because there's a few people who are up and coming. I mean, I think Tatum's already there, but there's Ant, you know, Jokic is kind of on his way. You know, he could retire tomorrow. We never know. I mean, I think he's going to be the best player in the world for as long as he wants to play for the next decade, but he could retire next year.
Stop retiring next year.
So I think it's like Ja Morant, Ant, Wemby is definitely above those guys even. And they're considered the future of the league. So it's going to be a big deal. I've got a package here, apparently, I didn't even know about. But before I get to that, what do you think about the Joel Embiid situations? Pivoting from an injury to a future player, a future Hall of Famer, to Joel Embiid, who's kind of been up and down. Former MVP, probably a future Hall of Famer because it's easy in the NBA. What do you think about what's going on with him?
I think Embiid, it's very unfortunate, the injury Embiid. It's, again, his knee, something he's been dealing with for quite some time, long overdue at this point. And I think the thing that's most troubling and not even just the rate in which it, you know, continually pops his head up. I think the biggest problem is his conditioning, because if you get in shape, and I think this is one of the things, like, the Mavs, quote unquote, they say was one of their concerns about Luka is, with these lower extremity issues, if you don't, you can't avoid them more so if your body's in better condition. I would say, like, when I moved back to Atlanta, I was like 280 maybe, and I had mad knee problems. Like, my knees just like
carrying just a little sucked. Extra weight, big dog. Yeah,
carrying a lot of extra weight. My knees would hurt walking up and down the steps and whatnot. And then as soon as I got like back active and lifting weights and doing cardio, dropped like 10 pounds. Like, I've held off 10 pounds. I've been fluctuating in that 270 and 250s since, but I don't have the same knee pain that I did when I first moved back. It's completely gone. So that's the main thing. I think also one of the concerns is that he could have taken time to work on some of these nagging injuries, but he played in the Olympics. He chose to play in the Olympics, unlike Kawhi, who we saw leave the Olympics because he had a knee issue. And now Kawhi is back playing later in the year. Missed a lot at the beginning of the year. But Embiid now started to play, well, missed the beginning of the season, played a little bit in the middle, and now the Sixers are thinking of shutting him down. I think I don't know if it's ever going to be right with him. I don't.
Well, he's now north of 30. So
he's now north of 30. They've rebuilt the team in his image, what, two times over now?
Yep.
Paul George, since getting there, has not made the impact that they would have hoped.
The crazy thing with Paul George is he says he has a finger injury, so it's messing with his shooting. But he looks like, no shade, but he looks slower. He looks like it looks like he has a knee injury that he's not saying anything about.
Well, I think with him, he had a very aggressive lower leg injury where he like broke his leg
a few years ago. So I remember, like, watching that live.
That may be rearing its head now, because I want to say he's like 33, 34 years old at this point. Yeah, he's 34 years old. So
34.
I think age and that injury is catching up to him. Maybe that's why he looks slower on the court. But I just think he's a less effective player than he was. And less effective to his cap hit. Like, Russell Westbrook at $20 million is not worth it for the Nuggets, but Russell Westbrook at like $5 to $10 million on a mid-level exception, we have embraced him. The Denver fan base has embraced him. And Paul George is supposed to be like a key part of that team. He's making upwards of nearly $50 million. So, the production at that cap hit is not worth the squeeze. I think Embiid, I mean, I don't know how the Sixers can continue with him being the centerpiece. I think you have to eventually pivot to Maxey and build around Maxey and McCain, Jared McCain, who got – is it McCain or McClain?
McCain.
Okay. He was playing really well while everybody was hurt early in the season.
Yeah, he looks great.
He ended up getting hurt. But I think a combination of those two guards, Embiid as like an addition to that, but not the focal point of that, may be your best bet going forward, because you just can't rely on Embiid to be there day in, day out.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to bring up, because this is something we touched on with the Luka trade. This is something that I've kind of held steadfast on. When people are like, you got to pay these guys the max, you got to pay these guys the max. I agree with that. You do. It's about assets. It's about keeping the asset or getting something back for the asset. And obviously, Dallas didn't get back nearly what they should have for Luka, which we can agree on. I think it was a dumb trade, but I think getting rid of Luka was not the dumbest part of the trade. I think what they got back was the dumbest part. The reason I say that is for exactly this point. Joel Embiid, who was out of shape, who everyone said didn't take it seriously, they paid him. And now they're trapped in this contract because they owe him guaranteed money for the next 4 years. he's played, I saw the thing today, he's played 432 games and he's missed 405. He missed the first two seasons when they brought him in. Like, so I'm not defending the Luka trade because no one would do that because that's idiotic and I'm not trying to do a hot take. What I'm saying, though, is if I'm a GM and I see Luka's more Joel and less LeBron, then yes, I wouldn't be encouraged to probably move on from him, but not for the minute haul that they got.
I just keep making faces and Brennan just keeps and not deflecting. At 25
years old. Maybe after the next contract, you're like, all right, now we got to get out of this business. But
the thing with Luka,
also, he took you to the finals.
I was just took you to the finals. So I knew. That same out of shape body, it took you to the finals.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Joel thing's crazy because they're probably going to have to shut him down. And like we said, he's the two biggest differences is between him and Luka, as I, you know, tried to not even make a point, just kind of dig myself into a hole. He's much older. He's 6 years older and he's bigger. Big guys. Yeah. We have a history of this. What, so people six who are over older? 7 foot. So yeah, he's 31, isn't he?
Luka's 24. How old is he?
I thought Luka was 25.
Joel's 30.
Okay. So he's 5 years older. Love how you gave me an aggressive check on that when I was off by a year.
I was like, I was like six. It was more like, dang, is Luka that young? I couldn't remember.
Now, yeah, Luka's 25, and now Joel is 30. So, but Joel's over 7 feet tall.
That's
an anomaly. That's a huge issue.
More mass there.
Yeah. And then the last injury we got to talk about, our guy, the greatest coach.
6'6".
Who is Luka? Yeah. LeBron's a little bit taller than him. I'm not going to say bigger,
LeBron
but taller.
LeBron is 6'9". I don't know why he's still listed at 6'8". But I thought Luka was more like 6'7", 6'8", honestly. I thought he was more built, like size-wise, I thought he was more in line with LeBron.
I mean, skill-wise, they're right there.
They're very comparable players. Like I always thought,
this fat, head, white, like, Eastern European and arguably one of the greatest athletes of all time. Ocho Priyatna, we're coming back. We're taking it back, everybody. All right, I'll get off that. Major injury news, not to a player. Greg Popovich had a stroke
many months ago.
And now he is stepping away from the Spurs. This was just announced. I'm not late on this. This was just announced.
I was going to say, so. Two things.
You know more about this than I do.
Yeah, I was gonna say two things are happening. It's a little confusing. So Shams, his tweet was a little wordy, but Pop had a stroke earlier in the season, and he's been away from the team this entire time. Shams' tweet was he's not coming back this year because there was expectations that he may come back.
That's what I thought. I thought he was already back.
No. He hasn't been back the entire time. So that was just like, after All-Star break, like, oh, it's official. He's not coming back this season.
Oh, man, Shams got me with the inflammatory tweet. The way they word it, like, yeah, this breaking news.
A lot
news.
Of word salad in there. It was very
confusing. Because I thought, when I first read it, I was like, oh, Pop was back. Yeah, I guess he was back.
That's why I thought
stepping
I was
away
like,
again.
Well, when I first saw it before reading anything, it just said breaking Pop. I was like, oh, Pop is coming back. And then you read it, and it's like, okay, I know he had a stroke. Okay, so he's just not coming back. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So we're obviously, this is a man's life. We're not going to speculate. You know, basketball is not that important when you think of it in the grand scheme of things. But Pop is basketball. Basketball is Pop. Yeah. He's won 5 championships. He is the epitome of what you would want a coach to be. Everyone was saying he should retire. And then when Wemby was on the table, they're like, never mind.
Yeah.
He needs to be the guy that coaches Wemby because he's one of the best coaches and tutors to tutelage this young man. And now he might just be done for, you know, obviously for health reasons and age. Where are you at with this?
I hope the best for Pop. I'm stunned. He's decided to do it this long because I want to say it was like maybe 2-3 years ago where his wife passed, where I was like, oh, he's gonna not check out, but he's like, he's a man that we've seen through press conferences that has articulated how important life is and how finite of a resource it is. And, you know, you don't want to let any day slip. And just understanding that basketball is a part of his life, but it's not all of his life. He's articulated that several times over. And when his wife passed, I thought he was going to finish out that season and step away and be like, I'm just going to, you know, retire, be with the family, be with the kids. But he's a man that has a vigor for life. He's
Big
very
wine guy, loves wine.
He's very Kornheiser in a way where Kornheiser often says, like, I don't know what I'm going to do if I retire. Like, I don't know what I don't understand, like, a leisurely life. So I don't think Pop also may fall in that line where it's like, I've been doing this for so long. Like, it is a part of me. It's kind of my refuge.
Crazy. Same age, too.
Yeah.
76.
So I think this is the final beacon. Like, he's definitely going to step away. I think he may come back ceremoniously for maybe a game or so, sometime next season, potentially. But I think Pop, as the face of the San Antonio Spurs, I think that is pretty much done. I think he will hand it off to someone else.
Do you think he'll remain president of basketball operations for the Spurs?
No, I think he's probably just going to completely withdraw and more so be a figure, an ambassador for the team.
Like but a Tim Duncan situation.
Yeah,
after Timmy retired, where he was still around.
Day-to-day and any decision-making. He might be like Jerry West, where Jerry West became like a consultant for like the Lakers and then other teams as well. But Pop obviously has a good relationship with the Spurs. So I think he'll end up being an ambassador with the Spurs, but nothing more than that.
Yeah. And I agree with that because it seems like a situation where he is the president of basketball operations and then also the head coach, but those things go hand in hand. It's very much like a Bill Belichick situation, just from the idea that it's like, well, I'm going to get the players in to run my system. So if he were to step away as head coach and bring someone else in, he's still going to go after the players for his system, even though he might have someone in there who won't run a system or just can't run it as good as Pop because it's Pop's system. You know what I mean? So it's like when teams would try to do the triangle after Phil and you're like,
Not Phil though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when the Lakers try to bring Brian Shaw in, it's like, all right, he's running the same system, but he ain't.
It doesn't look the same at all. I completely agree with you. And I think Pop is a fighter. I think he'll make a great recovery. And I think he'll go out and just do his thing, do Pop things, man. Drink some wine on a vineyard somewhere and just think about life. Because that is all
I can't wait. I can't wait for the Pop Pod.
Yes. We'll get him on here, man. Great Popovich. Yeah. Open invitation at all times.
Standing invitation. Yell at him.
All right.
Be surly.
Please. All right, let's pivot now away from the injuries, the kind of sad stuff. And I want to pivot into kind of just go around the league. We can spend a few seconds, if not a minute, on each of these topics. Luka, finally looking good for the Lakers in that last
one
game.
One more round.
Oh, we want to one more round this?
No, I was saying, you said, give it a minute. I was like, okay.
Okay. Luka came back from injury, played his first game against Utah, looked like garbage for the Lakers, and everyone's like, see, told you. It's like,
fine.
All right, well, he was fine.
The second game, he played like limited minutes in that first game.
Yeah, he played like 18, didn't he? Something like that.
Yeah, some very minuscule.
Go ahead. You're going to say, but the second game, he looked really bad. And
I was going to say, the second game, I don't think he did play in the second game. The second game, he didn't look good. I want to say, was it the Hornets game? I think that was the one he looked really bad. He was like 1 for 9 from 3. Something like crazy. Yeah. That's the 1 for 9 game. That was the game. That was a rescheduled game because of the fires. So that was the first NBA game back on Wednesday instead of usual, the Thursday return. He looked really bad on that game. But then the Lakers went out and beat the Trailblazers, and then they smacked up the Nuggets. Nuggets probably talking a little too much trash. They put out a video earlier that day saying different lineup, but it might be the same results or something. And then they got beat by 23. So little ahead of the skis there. I think the Lakers were really dialed into that game. They probably had that marked on their calendar because we've been their bugaboo for quite some time. But the Lakers look good for what they are right now. I still none of this makes me believe though that they are a final worthy team. Because
agreed.
I was in that Hornets game. I will say Austin Reeves. I want to say got ejected early on. But that loss to the Jazz and the way they looked in that Hornets game, the Hornets were able to hold them to 97 points. Like, if LeBron and Luka have to be your best three-point shooters or some of your top three-point shooters and you don't, because you don't have enough shooters around them, that is going to rear its head in a seven-game series. It's cute right now, one game off here and there. When you're just playing teams, you know, as the season turns. But in seven games, when you lock up 40 years of age, is going to look different. Like people, yep. I don't want to poo-poo LeBron, like, had 40 points against the Trailblazers. Like, at 40 years old, it's insane. What he's doing is insane. But there's a difference between regular season games, you know, when you're just here and there, boom, 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 and then seven games of you're the only person I'm focused on right now. It's a little different, and Nuggets have had their answer in the last two postseasons. And they had better defenders in those runs, did the Lakers. So I think if they face off with the Nuggets, I think that's going to look different. And I think with the top of the West, I mean, they're number four right now, so good for them. But when they face off with the Thunder, when they face off with the Grizzle, I think it's going to be a bit more challenging for them.
100% agreed. I'm just happy that
rebounded. They got a shot. Yeah. They're the top four team. They got a shot.
And also, all they have to do is beat
one of those teams to get to the Western Conference Finals.
That's the thing, is if they don't have to see Oklahoma City until the finals, they might be okay. The only reason I say that is because they have, I mean, again, to your point, it's a seven game series. You have to win four of them. We'll see what it looks like. But they had a real formula for that Denver situation. Like, they just basically kept four in the paint against Joker. And they're like, all right, everyone else, because they weren't spacing. And they were like, all right, figure it out, stupid.
Yeah. I mean, and you can get it right a couple times. But my bet is in seven
Joker
games.
Joker figures that out.
Yeah. I don't know how many times you're going to get it. I don't know how many times you're going to get it.
I completely agree. Speaking of the West, let's keep it moving. Jimmy Butler, a rejuvenated Jimmy Butler. This is the biggest recency bias I had ever seen. I watched some of that game and the announcers are like, Jimmy Butler playing with passion. He's playing like he loves the game again. And this is so frustrating. He tanked his value, the Miami season, his reputation. And now everyone's acting like he's a stand-up guy. He is playing great. And it's cool for Steph to have another guy. So Steph's not just running around in circles, jacking up shots that you think in your head. You're like, I don't think he wants to take that shot, but he has no choice. So that has been cool to see. But can we calm down with the Jimmy Buckets is actually like the heart and soul of basketball?
Yeah, I'd also want to tamp down expectations, especially because the most recent game they were playing a Mavs team that has zero bigs at this point. Like, Gafford's not there. Lively's not there.
Traded for Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis hurt too often. And then,
so I feel like everybody coming off of that game and being like, well, they're the thing now. They're still going to find themselves in the play-in game. I can't really see them getting to the sixth seed. As of right now, they're ninth in the West right now, and that's coming off a three-game win streak. They made some inroads because they beat – actually, let me take that back. They're only a game and a half out of the sixth seed. And the Mavs, who they just beat, who are dealing with a ton of injuries, Minnesota, who've been, you know, up and down all season, took an L last night to the Thunder themselves. And then the Clippers, who, you know, riding a two-game losing streak right now. So the Warriors, they could find their way to a six seed, and that really helps them a lot because I think playing in that playing situation really has neutralized what they've been able to do over the last two seasons. One, I believe, I think they got eliminated one of those seasons. But then I want to say they made it out once and then got summarily dismissed. But yeah, no, I think it looks good now. But the problem, it's hard to talk about the West without looking at it through a Denver lens. Or honestly, a Minnesota lens or a Thunder lens. Like, do you have the bigs?
Yep.
Do you have,
because that's what Oklahoma City didn't have last year, and then they went out and got the bigs. Yeah,
I was about to say. I mean, they had Chet, but Chet was young and inexperienced. Yeah. But then they went and got.
So he's so skinny.
Sam Morril's boy,
Hardenstein.
Yeah, Hardenstein.
Fucking Terminator, man.
So,
actually, Black. Warriors, just so everyone is aware, that was a crazy thing to hear.
As he says. He said it, not me. I'm just saying. If your best,
I like the way you're talking, Joe.
Is a 6'6", Draymond Green. It's like that. It's cute, but it's not going to help you're not, you, man. Yeah. Like when we get deeper and deeper into full season, like it's not really going to help you. Like I get what y'all trying to do, but it's not going to work. Like,
well, we saw this in football with the Eagles, and we see it all the time in the NBA where people are like, defense, run game, that's what wins championships. And then these flashy teams come in and they're like, they're throwing it all over the yard. Like, what? And I mean, Golden State won championships by doing that with like the shooting was outrageous and stuff.
I was like, but they had like
three of the greatest shooters.
I was like, they had
all
the best shooters.
They had not one, but three of the greatest shooters in the history of the NBA. And so it's like, okay, that's an anomaly. But to your point, Oklahoma City was on a tear and then just got shut down because they had no size. They couldn't do anything. And so it is an interesting situation because I agree with you. I think Golden State looks good now. I think it's revitalized them a little bit, but I don't think they're going to have the horses
to get. If they face the Lakers, I think I would take the Lakers in that. Yeah, like,
me too.
So I don't think they're better than many of the teams ahead of them. Like the top four teams, obviously, I don't think they're better than. The Rockets, I still need to see more, but they have Sengun. Like, Sengun is going to be a problem for the Golden State Warriors. They don't have anybody that can really cover.
Let's pivot. I have something else in between this, but let's talk about it. OKC or the field. Joe, you've kind of already told us your thoughts about this, but have you changed anything in the last 2 weeks since you said OKC was overrated and you think they're garbage and it doesn't matter?
Whoa, those are not the words I said. You're putting a lot of emphasis on things I did not say. Never said, never came out of my mouth.
Just kidding. Joe didn't say those things.
But no, my stance hasn't changed because prior to the loss to the Lakers, the Nuggets were on a 9-game win streak. Like, they looked to be in form. Jamal, everybody complained about, like, what's going on with Jamal? Jamal has seemed to finally get it together and been playing at the ability that most people wanted to see.
Blue arrow ability?
His capability. That's what I was looking for. He's playing up to his capability. So I think the Nuggets are still a worthy opponent out in the West. The Grizzlies still sitting at number two. And like I said,
that's
the Lakers.
That's crazy
to
me because
I think the top four in the West all have a legitimate shot to get to the Western Conference Finals and therefore make the NBA Finals. So that includes the Lakers, Nuggets, Grizzle, and the Thunder. I don't think, even though the Thunder have a sizable lead in the West, in the Western Conference, I think for a young team like this, when it's best on best, you're going to get, your mettle will be tested. So
I don't care if you've got a 100-game lead, you still have to play in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like it's not like you get exempt and you get to go straight to the finals. Yeah. So, and to your point, because I was real big on the OKC bandwagon a few weeks ago when we first started talking about this and the playoff picture was kind of starting to settle in. But I'm going to be completely honest. I asked you probably a month ago, what's up with Jamal Murray? Because he was not playing up to his expectations. It was
you
it
and looked, everyone else in my phone.
But it looked, but honestly, you can attest to this. It looked bad. Not like, oh, he's nursing it. Like, it looked bad. Well, we all thought it looked bad.
I don't think everybody texted me thought it looked bad because you guys haven't been watching the Nuggets throughout the regular season.
You were fine. You were like, I was what like, are you guys talking? You literally season, were gaslighting like, us. You're like, we're fine. What are you talking about?
I was like, it's the regular season. Like, there's a reason he's called Playoff Murray. Like, it's not a regular season thing.
And now,
he's never been an all-star. Like,
after, like, going into and then after the all-star break, Jamal Murray's back. The blue arrow is here. He's ready to go. Going to do what it's they got to do. So, I'm back on Denver. Joker's the best player in the world. The blue arrow's back. Brown's looking good.
I was going to say, also, we were dealing with a lot of injuries, which messed up the spacing. Like, AG needs to be there to that. Everybody literally is an integral part for everything because it allows the room to operate. So, last piece of the puzzle now is Peyton Watson, one of our better defenders. He needs to get back from injury, and that'll help things a lot. But yeah, no, I think Jamal is fine.
All right, we're gonna move to the East. Celtics, Cavs, who you got?
Man, never the day I thought I would say this. Never the day. I think the Cavs are it, man. They've beaten the respect out of me. I think it's also because they're not super dependent on Donovan Mitchell as they were last season. As Utah had been in the past.
We thought he was going to leave this year.
A lot of people thought. I thought too. But then he resigned.
Yeah.
But they have so much talent there. And it was funny. I was listening to the Levitar show earlier, and they had brought up the Cavs. And I was like, you know what's funny? The Cavs are kind of built like the T-Wolves. Like, they are kind of a Nuggets kryptonite, for lack of a better
term.
Because they have the two bigs. You got Jared Allen, who's back from injury, who's been back from injury for most of the season and been playing extremely well. And then you got Evan Mobley, who's, I mean, on his way to being an all-star next year. If not, probably could have been this year, maybe. But the two of them, and Evan Mobley expanding his game. He's taking threes now. He's making them at a real good clip. Darius Garland has been impactful. They have made a lot of minor trades around the trade deadline, some free agent signings, some buyout guys after the trade deadline and whatnot. They are really going for it. They brought in DeAndre Hunter, who could help.
Huge.
Who's a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
Like, they have really sold me on the construction of the team. And like I said, the biggest thing is the lack of reliance on Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell not having to be a volume scorer and being able to be more efficient and effective and being able to pick his spots, I think that is far – it makes him a far better player than I ever thought he could be because he was in positions where he just had to throw the ball up 30, 40 times to get his points, where now there's so much around him. And he's a smart player. I always thought he was a smart player. I just thought he was pigeonholed in the wrong systems. But now you're able to see him fully flesh out his game. And, like, they are really good, man.
And it's super cool to see because Donovan, they didn't do it like some of these other teams. I think the Celtics are the only one that's similar to this where it's like, no, we're going to kind of build it the way we want to build it because we know this is the right way to do it. So, yeah, they went out and got they got Donovan Mitchell. But then it's one of those things where it's like.
But they had all the pieces in place.
They drafted. Yeah. They drafted all these guys. And then they're like, no, this is going to work. And then last year, I know I was on this podcast being like, oh, he's out. He's going to the Knicks. Like, he's out. He's going to go to the Nets. Like.
Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, but I was going to say, kind of reminds me of a team that just won the Super Bowl. They built it. And then they just needed that last piece to get them over the edge.
Yeah, they convinced him to stay. And I honestly thought you got to keep the asset. They convince him to stay because they're going to have him show off during the season and then trade him before the deadline. That's honestly where I thought we were. And then when they started like 11-1, I was like, maybe he's going to stay.
They were like 20-3. It was like, this is weird.
Yeah. And now they are only have 10 losses.
47-10.
Not everyone, but a lot of people think it's the Celtics to lose because they have just the structure of the team as far as size and depth and offensive ability, and defensive ability with Holiday. A lot of people are like, well, it's the Celtics to lose, but don't sleep on the Cavs because this team can match with them a lot.
It's them too. I think I favor the Cavs a little more, primarily because of their guard play with Donovan and Darius. I think the Celtics have them beat as far as the forwards. I still consider Jaylen Brown a forward, even though he plays it too, just body size-wise, him and Tatum. But then when it comes to the bigs, I mean, Porzingis, I know, missed a good portion of the season. I think he's back now. But, I just – what Mobley and Allen have been able to do and them being able to stay healthy, I just think that is a big, big key factor for what they're going to be able to do and how they'll be able to defend a point.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Last thing I want to talk to you about, because this is something that's near and dear to my heart, the Magic. Get Paolo back, get Franz back, and they have been in a free fall. Since then, hopefully we'll turn it around after this All-Star break. What is your prognosis, diagnosis? Suggs is still out. What are you thinking from my Orlando Magic? Where are we at with you? Are you out? Tell me you're not out. We have actually won three out of the last four.
I'm not out. That's good.
But it's against the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Wizards.
Only because the East is bad.
Yeah.
So I'm not out. But this is a regression as far as the development was to be. I can't remember last year. What seed did you guys end up being when the postseason came around?
Eight
seed?
No. Six? I want to say six.
Let me go look.
We weren't in the play-in.
You guys are five.
Five, okay.
That's right. You guys were the fifth seed. Competitive series with those Cavs last year. Yeah. So,
we won two of those games.
I know, competitive series. Yeah. I was saying, there was one of those games you should have won. Where it was like, I forgot. I think they should have gotten to a two-man game with Franz and Paolo like towards the end, and they just didn't. And they didn't.
I remember they were trying to,
But yeah, this is a regression, and this is unfortunate because a team that we thought might have been regressing, like the Pacers, have now leapfrogged you guys. A team that was
worst
in the league.
With Paolo and Franz were out. We sat at three forever.
It was insane. But a team that was like worst in the league, so much so Monty Williams got fired after one season. The Pistons have leapfrogged you guys. It's real. It's a head scratcher because, like you said, they were at a good place for so long. But it just comes down to want to, man. Like, in that, when you're in that range, it kind of just comes down to want to. Is Paolo and is Franz going to want it that much? Like, right now, Franz is your leading scorer. I think that's
Franz leads in every major counting category.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it should be.
That's not how it's supposed to be.
I think if Paolo is going to be the number one draft pick, Paolo has to play like it. I want to say his stats have regressed over season as well. Let me see. Last year, what did he have?
Yeah, he's not last year.
Actually, he's right around where he was last year, and that's
he's at 41% shooting. He's at 30% 3-pointers, which isn't awesome. You'd like to see that be better. But the
last year he was at 45 from the field, 33 from three.
And yeah, so he is regressing.
Averaging 22.6, and now he's averaging 22.9. Like, he needs to take another leap. He needs to take another step. He needs to be your 25-point-a-game scorer.
Yeah.
Like, if all the ducks are going to fall into place like they're supposed to, he has to be that focal point. You don't want him 100%. To turn out to be a Wiggins. Like a guy that's just coasting.
Don't even speak. Don't
I'm
even
just
speak
saying. I'm just saying. I'm just giving you the facts as they laid bare. All right. You don't want him being a Wiggins.
I'm just keeping it real.
Just keeping it 100, man.
Jerry Maguire, Ari Spears character. I'm not holding him down. I'm keeping it real. All right. Quick hits.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick. Name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right. First thing we're going to talk about quickly is the NHL Four Nations Cup. Canada wins.
Four Nations Challenge. I don't think it was. Was there a cup? Was there a cup presented? I turned it off after McDavid's goal, even though I was rooting for Canada. Sorry.
Whoa.
What happened there? What happened there? We started beefing with them for no good reason, all right?
Listen, there was a great reason.
I feel like they deserved to win more than we did. Right?
Well, yeah, they all the best players.
We did not comport ourselves respectively. But yeah, no, they have a lot of great players. They have a lot of great players.
The greatest player in the world right now plays for Canada.
Yeah, got the goal. Couldn't win the
which
world.
Was I was actually goal. Super stoked. I was actually pretty stoked that Connor McDavid was the one who scored that goal.
Yeah, that was pretty
their goalie impressive. Was standing on his head, the same goalie that nobody thought they should even bring into this the Four Nations thing.
But one of the things that I also didn't feel away because this is the first time they've done it, so like it doesn't mean anything to me whatsoever. So I was like, sure, this is cute, this is nice. They, like me and you were talking about before the show, like originally they did not plan to do this in subsequent years, and now it's like, oh, this may now become
this
a
was
thing.
The greatest thing ever.
So it's like,
it was
okay.
Pretty cool.
It was really cool. But like, I mean, you didn't have a Russia team, even though you have a lot of Russians in the league because of, you know, geopolitical things. So it's just interesting to say the least. But yeah, so right now I think we're a couple games after the break. I think some games took place over the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, it was a lot was happening for me this weekend. Went to a MLS game, started the MLS season. Got some good tickets.
Let's go.
Shout out to the homie Jason. Hooked us up with some good tickets in the support section. That was a thrilling game. I'll get to that in the soccer corner. But the Maple Leafs currently top of the Catlantic, even though it can't be the Catlantic because we're down right now. Maybe it's the Matlantic because the Maple Leafs are at the top. 72 points. They're on a 2-game win streak. The My Panthers are on a 1-game losing streak. 71 points. Your Lightning currently third in the division. So they're hold on, sorry. Third in the division with 68 points. Finally jumped over the Senators.
Finally, well, we were like 3 games behind everybody.
Yeah, you're still 2 games behind.
Still, yeah.
The Panthers, my team who I think is going to win it this year, as well as Ovi's definitely going to break Gretzky's goal record. They're at 84 points. They're on a 2-game winning streak. Then you have the Hurricane. This is the Metro Hurricanes at 70 points, as well as the New Jersey Devil at 70 points. Then you got the Red Wings and the Senators. The Senators are duking it out for that second wild card's position with the Blue Jackets, the Bruins, and yeah, I'll put the Rangers in there. Islanders have more of an outsized chance. The Islanders, Canadiens, and the Flyers have more of an outsized chance, but a chance nonetheless. In the Western Conference, you got the Winnipeg Jets sitting at 83 points. They're riding a 9-game win streak. Whoa. The Dallas Stars, 76 points, 3-game win streak. The Wild, a 3-game win streak of their own, sitting at third in the Central. In the Pacific, you got the Golden Knights, who are duking it out with the Edmonton Oilers and that boy, Connor McDavid, for the top of the Pacific. The Oilers sit at second, though. And the Kings are at third. The Avs, first wild card team there with 68 points. They seem to be in pole position of that, and they could find their way into taking one of those other spots. And then you got the Canucks, who are in a bloodbath of a second wild card chase with the Flames, the Utah Hockey Club, and the Blues. I'm going to stop there. I don't think the Ducks or the Kraken. And they could turn it around and get there, but I think they're a good ways away as we currently stand. So that is the playoff.
That's the hockey corner. The hockey. Time. For everyone's favorite segment of the show.
For the Fulham corner. Got a little MLS. MLS started this past week. Saturday was the kickoff day. Like I said, went to a game, went to Atlanta United game against, who were they playing? Central, no, FC Montreal. No, CF Montreal. Club de Football Montreal. It was a hell of a game, Brennan. It was a hell of a game. 5 goals scored in the game. Atlanta got the first one. And then Atlanta got the first one like at the 41st minute right before halftime. And then 2 minutes after the half, Montreal scores. Like, dang. All right. And then, boom, Atlanta scores again. Latte, he got his 2nd goal of the night. Got a brace. And then it was like, all right, 2-1. I think we're good. Montreal scores again. It's like, come on. Everybody's like, dog, this is insane. This is Ariel's first Atlanta United game. So 4 goals. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. And then they make a substitution. Let me get this right. Atlanta makes a substitution at like the 68th minute or so. Let me get this right. So they make a substitute at like the 80th minute. Is that right? Yeah, at like the 80th minute. They make a substitution. They take 4 guys off, bring 4 guys on, or 3 guys off, 3 guys on. One of the guys that came on in the 85th minute, a minute after the substitution, bangs in a beauty. Bangs in a beauty coming in from the left side of the box, just outside the box, yanks it in. It was impressive. Now, mind you, this was the 3rd goal that Atlanta scored. This was the first time me sitting in the supporter section. 2 times I've been to the games before, I've been like in the upper deckish. Apparently, I didn't know this, but people throw their beers up in the air when they score.
Let's go. So,
like, we were having beers cascade on us, and I was like, oh, snap. And we had 2 beers. Ariel had one. I had one. And then, but I was like, I'm not throwing my beer. What are we doing? That 3rd goal was so beautiful, Brennan.
You did.
I just grabbed my beer and chucked my beer in the air. I was like, holy fuck. I was like, this is amazing. I got wrapped up in it. I was like, oh, snap. That was impressive as heck. And then the game, 10 minutes of extra time.
That's a lot of extra time.
I was about to say Atlanta held on, but not without some pearl clutching there at the 100th minute, the final minute. Montreal kicked in a potential game equalizer. It was going. It literally got over the keeper, hit the crossbar, and then over the net. So close.
We don't count that.
So close. Oh, the collective sighs from the audience there. But a hell of a game. But as Brennan was trying to set up.
All right. Way over time. But we got to get you at the full of minute, baby. Let them know, Joe.
All right. As Brennan alluded at the top of the show, Fulham took an L this week. We're playing Crystal Palace. Again, this goes back to the thing that I've been mentioning for quite some time now. Teams that we're ahead of, we keep beating, and teams we're below. The teams that are below us, we keep losing to. Crystal Palace, I believe, was sitting at 13. They're still at 13. So they were sitting at 13. We were sitting at 9. No, I think we were sitting at 8 even.
8.
But 8 or we 9. Eight. Yeah, 8. Okay, so yeah, we were sitting at 8, and then we lost. They scored a goal. We could not get anything going. I was at Brewhouse, not our usual haunt, but I was at a...
So this is your fault is what you're saying.
You know, it was what the heck did they call it? Lanta Mardi Gras. It was going through where we usually go, so we had to go to our second bar. But yeah, so after the first half, we all kind of collectively said, like, there's just no creativity coming from the boys right now. Like, they just seem like they're going through the motions. But the first goal. And what could have been the second goal, but that there ended up being an offsides call. It was both off decisions where there should have been a foul called by the referee, and he didn't call it. And then they just got to play an advantage, and they just had free range to get in some goals. So, it was disappointing, to say the least. I believe we haven't beaten Crystal Palace at Crystal Palace since, like, 2005. which is annoying because they're not like one of those teams that are like, you know,
dominant. They're not a powerhouse where it's like oh, they're that not makes
one
sense.
Of like the ones. But yeah, so could have had a better performance, had nothing to show for it, not even a goal. I just wish that they would come out with the same vim and vigor they do for these top half games as the bottom half games. Because we have, I would say, listening to Fulhamish, we have dropped more points against the bottom sides than the top side. So if we
were to even that out with the two top teams in the Premier League.
Yeah, if we were to even out
their place.
Those results, we would be a top. We would be in contention for Europe, no doubt. So, a little annoying, a little frustrating.
All right, but, we'll get them next week.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, moving on to the press conference.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show's Twitter and Instagram at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Who Does a Pod. That is Anulo itself. You can check me out on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. I think I said Blue Sky for the show as well. You can check out the Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky.
We did not, but we know.
At Joe Dorville. You can check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe, no Ono, E in the Phone. You can check out the merch at headphonejoe.etsy.com. Again, the Ono E in the Phone. Yeah, that's everything. Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I've got dates coming up on the Bro Adjacent Tour, Connecticut, Boston, Los Angeles, New York, Florida. Check out the website to get tickets there. Link is on all of the shows in the calendar, the ticket link. Check out my other podcast, Your Ex-Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, Bobby Lockwood, very funny comedian, talks about how when he first started comedy, he could only get on stage hammered drunk. And so that was fun, talking about his growth as a comedian and how he doesn't drink as much anymore. Check it out, Your Ex-Drinking Buddy. Change the name, change the cover art everywhere. But it won't change on iTunes because iTunes fucking sucks.
I will say I was a little confused in his telling of the story because I was like, wait, is he from New York? Because then he talks about like time in Alabama. I was so confused.
So he was born and raised in New York and then lived in Alabama for like 3 years.
Okay. Because he kept mentioning like,
but he kept going back. Like a lot of his stories happened in Alabama.
I'm like, where'd you have that in New York, bro?
Nah, he had that in Alabama. Also, maybe this is an off-air conversation. Joe, how do I fix the cover art for Apple iTunes?
I don't know. iTunes, it's very annoying. I have it.
Every time I upgrade stuff or change stuff on Squarespace, everything upgrades.
Yeah.
Podbean, Spotify, I would say
iTunes,
Stitcher.
You might have to make a... We can offline this.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. I guess that's it. Is that the show?
That is the show, Brennan. Get us out of here. So I can
and that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out, Greg Popovich. One of, if not the greatest, NBA basketball coach of all time. Get some rest, man. Drink some wine. Take a vacation.